Hey, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And I don't know, I don't think we've ever had a game that's had two goals, two red cards, and two substitutions in the first half. What an absolutely bat-poo crazy game that was.
Yes. Manchester United and Chelsea.
Were you thinking, was there more than one game this week? And you were like, oh, what?
I was just thinking...
Man U Chelsea.
Well, no, in my head I thought, have I ever known that happened before? That's
game of the season so far for just complete and utter
nonsense.
Drama. Just pure cinema. I loved it. And the rain was going as well. There's just like all
and
the...
And then Palmer got injured just to make it worse.
Right, because if there couldn't be any more drama, the rain's lashing down. And then Palmer, yeah, I mean, what are we got to start with that. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the FPL Family live stream. Very nice to have
this
you along
Lee,
with us
I'm
here
Sam.
On a Sunday night. I've done all that.
Yeah.
What I was going to say was, I'm going to dive straight in, and I'm hoping Kingdom FC and a few of the other Chelsea fans are here, because I'm going to dive straight in with a bit of Chelsea bashing. What's going on
you
with this?
Right. Whoa.
Yeah,
no,
I'm going.
No.
I'm doing it.
Hang on. I'm doing it.
It's already in motion, Sam. You can't stop me.
Hang on.
It's already in motion.
Because this is like, this is where the two favourite things for Lee to do come colliding into one.
I wonder how many subscribers
bash
we've
Manchester
got there at Chelsea
United,
fans. Like, very
bash
few.
Chelsea. This game, bash them both.
But it was just so chaotic. But the feedback that I want to give about Chelsea is...
Chelsea don't want your feedback, I'll be clear.
What are they doing with this Cole Palmer? He came out after the game, didn't he? And he said, they did some tests and the test showed that he wasn't 100%.
What test did they do?
But we basically played him anyway.
Maths tests?
And for me, guys,
science?
Get in the chat. I want to hear from you guys. Am I just going on another Chelsea rant? And sorry, Chelsea fans, I'll stop if you think I should stop. But this is such poor mismanagement of a player.
Well,
for Palmer,
for
the medical staff to say he's not 100% fit, and they go, "Oh, play him anyway."
Wait. Let's be clear though. What was actually
Mad.
Said? Did the medical staff specifically say to Maresca he is not fit to play? Because if they did, then that is absolutely appalling management from Maresca. If the medical staff have said, "Well, we don't think he's quite right," but be cautious.
Kingdom FC is in. He says, I feel targeted. I'm sorry, Kingdom FC. This is not targeted at you in any stretch of imagination.
I just
can't get my head round.
Yeah, but it might not be Maresca. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, please.
Is it the medical staff
please.
Who have got it wrong and not told Maresca the right thing? Is it Maresca's misinterpreted the medical staff? Is it Maresca's ignored the medical staff? Because those are three quite different things. So before you accuse Chelsea of beating up their player deliberately...
You standing up for Chelsea.
I think we must be clear about what was the message given from Palmer and the medical staff on the back of that test? Or did they just give him a spelling test and not bother to check if he was actually fit?
And the only reason I'm upset about all this, the only reason, because I love Chelsea Football Club, the only reason I'm upset about all this is because a lot of FPL managers, a lot of people tuning in tonight, Sam, captained Cole Palmer. There was a bit of a wave of differential captaincy towards Cole Palmer. Indeed, we even went on Sky and we sat here last week and said, if we had Cole Palmer in our teams, we probably would have captained him against Manchester United.
Mm.
Imagine we'd done that. I'd have been well annoyed. Not that Salah went off to any degree as our captains this week.
He got something.
But he got something
right
compared to Palmer's one-pointer. Mm. It was a crazy, absolutely crazy game. The Palmer captaincy, we were actually on our way. We didn't watch the game, did we? Because we were on our way to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, not to watch any football, but we took
home. We love it there.
We can't get away from the bloody place. You were on the way. We were on the way to watch the Post Malone concert last night, weren't we? And you got your T-shirt on everything. And what a gig that was, by the way. Fantastic, fantastic stuff. But of course, we were listening, therefore, to... have you got the chocolate out? It's one of them, isn't it? It's one of them weeks. We need the chocolate. It's out. But we're on the way to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium to watch Post Malone. And Chelsea Man United was on the radio.
Mm.
I actually low-key quite like listening to games on the radio. Like, the radio commentators have got to be really descriptive about what's going on the pitch. I actually low-key quite like it.
And they were good as well, the commentators we were listening to.
Great. Oh, yeah. Five Live commentary team. Brilliant. And that's what they were saying about, you know, the Palmer incident and all of that. They were saying that just the whole game was just bonkers. And the way they spoke about the game was really, really good, I thought. But a crazy, crazy game.
They were describing the weather as well, which obviously you don't get in normal commentary, do you? But, you know, it was really good. It was really interesting listening to it because actually we weren't listening to it at first, were we? We got in the car to leave, dropped the kids off, got in the car to start driving. And I think we got to about the M25 and stopped. Oh, Guys, get this. Stopped for a Starbucks, didn't we, on the way?
Yeah.
What happened?
No peach iced tea.
Right.
Devastating news. No ice, actually.
I'm not being funny. Even...
Did anyone have any ice?
So we go in there. I'm like, get Lee a pumpkin spice. A pumpkin spiced latte.
It's PSL season, isn't it?
Yeah. Lee's low-key obsessed. So I get him ordered that. And then he's like, right, anything else? Yeah, I'd like a large peach iced tea, please. He's like, oh.
No ice.
Really sorry, we don't have any ice.
What the hell?
Honestly. If looks could kill, the guy would have dropped dead. He's like, do you want a regular cup? No, you said, do you want a regular cup of tea? I was like, absolutely not. I absolutely no, don't want that. I really
you
don't.
You in horror. You were like, what, an actual tea?
I don't want an actual tea. I wanted a peach iced tea. Drop the kids off. I'm going on a date. I don't want a normal cup of tea. I want a peach iced one. Anyway.
Nicole McCarthy in the chat, pumpkin spice is rank. Nicole, with respect, you are wrong. Pumpkin spice lattes are one of the best things
I
about Halloween,
you,
about this time of year.
Pumpkin spice, disgusting. But anyway, that's not the
You're
point.
You're wrong, both of you. Sorry.
So anyway, the guy then goes, well, there's the other Starbucks has got some. So I'm like, Lee's like, I'll go ahead and get you one. I'm like, no, because by this point I've gone. My head's gone. I'm like, no, I don't want
head's
one.
It's gone.
I don't want one. I'm really angry about it.
Your head's gone. You don't want to say your head's gone.
I've lost the plot. And I'm really cross. So you've run across the road to get me one. In the meantime, the guy shouts, he's like, yo, Sam, here's your pumpkin spice thing. He hands it to me and I'm like, you got a sleeve? He's like, over there, love. And I'm like, don't over there love me while I'm in a grump with you. Anyway, turns out the other one, they'd run out of tea. So they couldn't make me a peach. Anyway, I don't know why I'm telling you this. I was really angry about it.
Wow.
So we get in the car. This is why I'm telling you it.
Is this story about to end or are we still? Okay.
No, so we get in the car. I'm still annoyed because all I've got is a bottle of water. And we're driving along and then you said... God, it's all gone off in the Chelsea game. And at this point, I think it was just Robert Sanchez that had been sent off.
I mean, what's he playing at?
And Lee's like, hang on a minute, I've got to find it to see if it's relevant. And then you're watching it and you're like, it's the most blatant red card ever. We decided at that point to start listing and it just got more and more chaotic across the course of the drive from our house to Spurs.
When we heard that Sanchez got sent off, I was like, I've got to find a video of this because see if he's a bit unlucky. No, it's not unlucky. Yes,
it's
you've taken him when we're out of the
him.
Excellent, yeah, very good. Clearest red card ever. It was absolutely crazy. People are saying, Sam, is your chair sort of shorter than normal? And I can understand why, because look, I'm sort of sitting up with my head sort of in the middle of the screen as I try to make it. You're a little bit hidden away in the corner here. Can you see this in the camera? Look. A little bit hidden away, like you're not sure about whether you want to participate this evening or.
Well, no, I tell you what it is. It's because, and I daren't move it now, but the camera, what? I think actually, because you can't normally see Sonny's boot. The camera.
Oh, right. It's my fault.
It's higher up than
normal. My fault. Okay.
It's normally a bit low. So, hang on.
See if you
I
can
mean, I can't. I don't know what I'm going to do about this because my bum is in the back of the chair.
This is quite a slouchy chair, isn't it?
It's right, like hang on. Ready, everyone? One, two, three.
People are saying, Keith is in. Hey, Keith, he says, is this stream sponsored by Starbucks? Mate, I don't know why we
decided
to start.
No, because I was really angry about Starbucks yesterday.
I don't know.
If you work at the South Bay Mims one, on the M20, I come off the M25 for it. If you work there, I'm not happy with you lot at the minute.
Well, yeah, there we go. That's
either
enough about pumpkin spice lattes and tea. People, Sam, if someone's new to FPL Family and they've just tuned in going, cool, I hope they've got some good insight into Man City Arsenal. No, pumpkin spice lattes.
We'll talk about
and...
Man City Arsenal later, but we'll talk about the Chelsea game.
All right, George is in. Hey, George, he says,
hang on, wait, stop.
Well, I'm getting to that.
No,
people don't know why you're clapping.
Giving George a clap.
Okay, I will give George a clap in a minute, but I'm going to explain to people why. Thank you for the super chat, George. George said, you don't need to super chat. You're already a member. The love is strong with the FPL family. Thank you, mate. Thank you to everyone in our wonderful Slack community and the patron Slack community for the donations and to those who were there with me till the end, like Sean and Jonathan. Thank you, Sam, for inspiring me to do this. Love you. George, mate, we love you to death, mate. That was an unbelievable effort. For those of you that have been with us last couple of weeks, you'll know that George and Simon, actually, Simon Nigel the Crab, took part in the Shine, what do you call it? The Moonwalk, is it?
The Night.
The Shine Night Walk, right? Mm-hmm. And they do it for charity, for breast cancer charities, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, you did it last year. George has done it this year. Simon's done it both years.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's mad, isn't it? It's like you've got to walk a marathon, but it's overnight and it's freezing cold and it's often raining. And if you can do it, fair dues. It's unbelievable effort, George, honestly.
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, I did it last year with Si and with one of my friends, and it was genuinely the hardest thing I've ever done. Because physically, it's difficult. Everything hurts and there's blisters and there's all sorts of problems going on. But it's the mental thing. It's the mental struggle that you go through over the course, because you're tired, because you're doing
starts
it start at,
night.
At like 8
yeah,
o'clock
at
night,
evening, right?
And you're walking all through the night. So you're tired, you've got the mental side of it, and just keeping going is really difficult. The year I did it, it absolutely lashed it down all night. It was horrendous. But it was quite warm. It was mild because it was raining.
Yeah.
Whereas last night, when we left the Spurs stadium, which was about 10:30, 11:00-ish time, it was cold. It was really windy in the UK, and it has actually really dropped in temperature over the weekend. And I said to you, didn't I actually think that will be even harder to do in the cold, because although you're moving and that obviously keeps you warm, the coldness in your face and in your hands and your extremities is difficult to deal with. So massive shout out to George for doing it, because I know
and everyone that supported him in the community and the patron Slack in the community. George is absolutely right. We had loads of donations, loads of people supporting him,
and it was during the night as well. People messaging, I felt that last year. People would send me messages in the Slack through the night, and it keeps you going hearing people. Like, I mean, I wasn't much help. I messaged George when I left the Spurs stadium, and that was, and then I went to sleep. But the rest of the community, I know particularly the guys on the other side of the world who were up, were massively helpful to George during the course of the night, messaging each other. And so, yeah, the Slack community is very, very special. But George and Si, massive shout out to both of you, because phenomenal, phenomenal effort for an amazing charity. And to raise the amount of money you did is just incredible. So
absolutely.
Well done.
So there we go. There's your round of applause. There it is. Now everybody knows, Sam. Now we're giving the round of applause.
I'll have a bun.
I'll celebrate by eating a Cadbury's chocolate bun. There we go. What are these? So the Cadbury's chocolate bun, they're usually like... Are they like a mix of white chocolate and dark chocolate?
This stream is now also sponsored by Cadbury's.
Oh, beautiful.
These are Cadbury's. I think they're quite new. Twisted buttons.
Oh, all right. Very good.
They're absolutely delicious.
Let's say hello to a few people, Sam.
Oh, let's.
And let's start with Matt Francis, who says, "No one comes here for the expert insight." You're absolutely right, Matt Francis. You're absolutely right. Thank you. Thank you for pointing that out. We've had buttons, we've had moonwalks, and we've had pumpkin spice lattes so far.
Peach iced tea. Which I still haven't had, by the way. I didn't get one today either. Oh, so sad.
Sad times. John Robert Knight is in. Nice to see you, John. Sean is in. Hey, Sean. Nice to see you, as usual. Scott Schrager, the OG, is in. OG. Nice to see you. George, we mentioned before. FPL Mackham is here. Nick Freeman is in. Nice to see you, Nick. Let's see. Who else have we got? We've got Kingdom FC. Hello, Kingdom FC. Sorry for that initial rant there about Chelsea, but just had to get it off my chest. I had to, you know, something not right about that. Cole Palmer, whole thing just didn't sit right with me.
Why didn't you go and ask me dad about it?
Didn't feel like that was the right time, because I'd imagine he wasn't very upset. He wasn't very happy about that result at the weekend, I would imagine.
No, and he had to look after all three grandkids that night as well.
We don't want that. People are saying, where's the sofa gone? Yeah, well, that's the camera. I've set the camera up wrong, haven't I? So that's why Sam looked like she was in the corner of the camera.
I'm having to sit up dead straight. By the end of this stream, I'm going to have bad back.
Oh, okay. Well, it's my fault. I've set the camera up
wrong. I think it's actually not your fault. I think the camera's just not quite in its socket, and that's why it's like that.
Yeah, something's wrong with it. Anyway, we'll figure it out.
If I touched it, it probably would be all right. Yeah, well, I don't want to break it now.
Ian Smith, nice to see you. Ian Smith is in. Andrew Yee is here. Hey, Andrew, nice to see you. Who else we got? Rory, Ben Allen, Warwick Scott. And a whole host of you folks in. So welcome. Good evening. Welcome along to FPL Family, where we will be talking, as we usually do here on a Sunday night, about all of the weekend's FPL action. Now, we haven't got any game on a Monday night, right? We are done. Yeah. This is the 10 games are done and dusted. So game week 5 is done. It's in the books, right? We're sorted. However, there is League Cup action coming up during the week, is my understanding.
Yeah, and also Europa League.
And some Europa League action. So in the same way that we kind of advised last week, probably best if you are thinking about making some transfers for next week, then probably holding those transfers, waiting for information. However, you want to add a caveat. It's probably the same thing that's going to However, if you are going to play the wild card this week for game week 6, which has been much touted by many content creators, not least the two of us in the last few weeks, we've been talking about wild carding for game week 6. Then no need to hold your transfers. No need to hold your transfers. You can just go ahead and press the button if you are absolutely sure about playing it. On a scale of 1 to 10 then, before we get stuck into some of the games, how sure are you of playing the wild card ahead of game week 6? Because this time last week, you were pretty sure.
So yesterday, Friday was 100% sure.
Mm.
Yesterday, I was about 65% sure.
Right.
Because Kudus had done well.
That's a big drop.
Yeah, because Kudus had done quite well. My team was looking quite good. There was a green arrow incoming, and I was thinking, oh, this is looking all right. And then Cole Palmer was back and he was going to start, and I was thinking, right, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Then Cole Palmer got injured again, and I thought, oh, Okay. Well, maybe I'm a little bit less excited about the wild card now because I'm a little bit more unsure.
And not just injured, but also reports are, I've seen on X and Twitter and others, is that he's been carrying this groin injury for some time.
Yeah, I heard
that. And they've been making him play with kind of painkilling injections and he's not quite been right for some time. And then you see the whole kind of, you know, the mismanagement stuff that I mentioned at the top of the pod.
He wasn't happy, was he? Threw his gloves.
Not happy about it, yeah. No. So it's not just, you know, he had to come off in that game because he was feeling he's going, but he'd be back next week. There's now uncertainty about whether he's going to play at all.
Yeah, so it dropped down a lot. And then, so much so that I overnight took a drop onto Kuiper because I was just like...
Oh, right, you just sucked
one up. I just don't know what I want to do now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So I'm just going to take the drop and just let it be a bit like...
Because you were more or less saying this time last week and on Sky, when we went to Sky Sports News on Saturday, that as soon as that deadline hits on Saturday, I'm pressing the button. I was thinking by lunchtime Saturday, you'll be in wildcard territory.
Well, that was the full intention.
Is it pressed now?
No.
Still not pressed?
It's not, but...
All right.
It is...
All right.
I think I'm back up to like 95% sure I'm going to do it.
Okay.
The only thing I might do... And this was going to be the caveat that I was going to add before. I'm going to keep my eye on price rises, obviously, because that's going to have an impact. Because it will be a high wildcard week. I'm almost certain of that. If you wanted to make moves early because of rises, for example, if you wanted to sell Salah and sell Ollie, who's lost all talent, Watkins, and bring in Haaland and someone from Manchester City or someone from wherever in midfield.
Yeah.
Ahead of, because of rises or whatever, ahead of midweek action. I don't mind that as long as you don't mind hitting a wild card later in the week if things go wrong in the League Cup, you know, or the Europa League. I think you can caveat it with, if you're happy to eventually maybe press it, then don't worry about using the transfers in advance. I think there is quite a good chance that at the end of this stream I do press it.
Yeah.
Because I've got to a point with my team where I look at them. Well, you'll see. I've shared what I think would be my first stabby draft of a wild card.
All right, we'll look at that later.
Which we'll look at later. And there's a lot of changes in there from my team. There's barely anyone that has stayed.
Okay.
And that tells you quite a lot about how I feel about my team.
Okay. All right, let's get on with some of these games then, and then we can do our teams, how we've got on this week.
I'm not going anywhere. I'm just getting tissue. I'm coming back. Just getting here.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's just in my pocket.
I love how you have all this prepared, ready for the stream.
Well, I normally do, but it's because I was too busy getting the chocolate buttons.
Okay, get your priorities right.
I should have got my priorities right. Like, I don't have to go far, see?
Very good. All right, well, let's get on with some of these games. Do you want to mute your mic before you blow your nose? No?
I'm away from it. Okay,
fine. All right. This is great for the podcast content. Right.
Got to move it again.
Let's get on with these games, Sam. Let's talk about... I actually want to dive straight into the game we saw this afternoon because I think there's so much to discuss in the Arsenal-Man City game, not least because those of us that are thinking about wildcarding, or even if you're not, you're going to be certainly considering Haaland, you're certainly going to be considering Manchester City assets now. And the reason it's now is because if you look at the fixture ticker going forward, Man City with Burnley at home up next, and there will be many that have got Haaland already in their teams thinking of not wildcarding next week so that they can triple captain him against Burnley at home. Then it's Brentford away, Everton at home, Villa away, Bournemouth at home. Nice looking fixtures to Manchester City. That's why many are looking at bringing in their assets now. What did you make of the game, first of all? And then give me your view on, first of all, the Manchester City assets, because Haaland looks like a lock. You've got to have him, I think. But, you know, this is the first time that Tijani Reinders has given his owners anything since game week one.
Mm.
But I loved his performance today. I thought he looked like a brilliant FPL asset today. And on the flip of that, I've been Foden's biggest fan all week, talking about how I want him in and he's a 3% differential and it might switch. Yeah, he might be my Salah sacrifice for Foden so that I can, you know, get Haaland. Completely anonymous today, Foden. Hooked on 60-something minutes. So it's like, what the... I'm back to like, I don't know who to get now from City again. I was kind of locked in on Haaland Foden.
I didn't understand like, the Haaland thing. Yep. I understand totally the Haaland thing. I didn't understand the Foden thing at all. I was really struggling with this because I kept saying to you, but you've done this before and you've been bitten by this before. We all have. We've all been in the Foden trap before because we have games where Foden is like all important. He's like the playmaker. He's creating everything. He's driving Man City forward. He is everywhere and everything. And he does that for a couple of weeks. And then one of two things happen. Either Pep goes, that's enough of that bench. Or he just goes anonymous like he did today. And then you kind of go, all right, well, it's very different fixture. It's really difficult. Arsenal's a really difficult game, particularly away at the Emirates. One of the hardest games that you're going to have all season against probably, over the course of the season, the best defence in the league. So if he's going to go anonymous in any game, maybe not surprising that it's this one.
But not in the game at all. I mean, last week against United, it was really good. And then he was man of the match against Napoli. And I'm like, and all of the, you know what I'm like with a narrative, right? You know, Pep's got his arm around him after the Manchester derby.
Don't believe it, Lee.
I miss him so much. I'm so pleased to have him back. And we need him. We love him. We need him. And then he's man of the match against Napoli. And I'm like, oh, Phil's back then.
Why do you believe what Pep says?
And then it's like this. I mean, it wasn't even like he was just one involved, was he? So the reason for mentioning all of this is that when I think about how I'm going to invest in Man City on my wild card, because, you know, I'm going to have Haaland, of course I am. But if I'm going to buy into a Manchester City midfield rotation risk, I'd rather it be Reinders than Foden because he's 3 million less. And actually, do we even consider Reinders a rotation risk? I mean, with Marmoush coming back, sure. I mean, when Cherky eventually gets back fully fit, then yeah, okay, there'll be more options, I think, in that position. But as we've said for a couple of weeks now, with Rodri sitting there holding, it just enables Reinders to get forward. Like, you watch Reinders today. It's like every time he's involved with the attack. Yeah. Every time. And I'd always said, you know, this is the first week where he's returned for his own since game week 1. That is a fact. Like, he's had 3 blanks in a row in FPL. Bit unlucky. Like, to not have any returns against Manchester United. One off the inside of the post. Was it the one off the inside of the post or one he just put wide?
He put one wide and then Haaland. He should have assisted Haaland in that one he missed.
So that's what I like about him is because even when he has an off day and he blanks in FPL, I'm still looking at him going, huh, I'm a bit scared not having you in FPL. Mm-hmm. And you actually look pretty good. So I think he got defensive contribution points as well today, by the way, mm-hmm. which again suggests to me that he's not all about the... You know, he's not all about the gung-ho. My kind of in my head, I was like, well, if he's in that kind of more forward advanced positions, is he going to neglect some of his defensive work? Well, no, because he's doing DEFCON as well. Mm. So all of a sudden, you've got this FPL asset that's like super cheap with multiple routes to points in a team with great fixtures.
Mm.
Okay, might be a slight rotation risk, but who isn't at Man City other than Haaland? So I'm like, this is just a no-brainer, isn't it? Let's just get Reinders.
But you baffle me.
Why?
Because the whole of the week last week, it was all about Foden. All about Foden.
Yeah, because last week he was amazing.
Yeah, but you get so easily sucked into traps like Foden.
Okay. Like, do you think Reinders is a trap then?
No, I don't think he is. I think it's been quite clear since game week 1 that of the Man City midfielders, he is the one if you want a Man City midfielder.
And by the way, I didn't get sucked into the Foden trap because I was bigging him up all week. I didn't bring him in, so I didn't fall in the trap.
Yeah, but I'm
waiting for more information. If he played well today, then I might have got him. But that's FPL in a nutshell, isn't it? You wait as long as you can, gather as much information, knowing that you might miss out on a haul.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I've got a bit more information this week, and turns out Phil is a bit hot and cold.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't. I don't like the Foden pick at all. I don't think there's.
All right.
I don't see any consistency there. I don't see consistency of starts. I don't see consistency of performances. I think he is very temperamental. And I think his relationship with Pep is very temperamental
right.
as well.
But Reinders you like?
But Reinders I like.
And right. Who else from City?
No one.
No one else from City? Doku again?
No.
Looking good? No?
Again.
Defence? No?
Well, the problem with the defence is that they're a bit... You could go Donnarumma, I suppose, if you really wanted to, but
You're not going him over Raya.
I don't think you're going him over a number of goalkeepers.
Yeah, he played well. He did play well. He's punching. He doesn't like catching it, does he? He's a bit of a puncher. And when you're 6 foot whatever, you know, with arms the size of whatever, you're going to get there with the punch ahead of most players that are on the pitch.
Yeah.
So I didn't mind it at all. I thought it was good goalkeeping most of the time. But for me, currently, I'm thinking Haaland plus one midfielder, and right now that's Reinders.
Yeah, I just don't like the defence, to be honest. I look at them, the ones that played today, I know Gvardiol's back and he's all right and what have you, but I don't know. I don't trust the defence very much. I quite enjoyed owning 8 Nouri until the injury issues, and obviously he's going to be out for a few more weeks now. So Haaland, yes, absolutely. Back him up with Reinders, yes, because he's also a nice enabler. But I don't think you need anyone outside of them.
Right. And then Arsenal then, from their perspective, I must admit, I wasn't, you know, I was a bit, what's the right phrase, a bit critical maybe of Arteta when they came to Anfield. And obviously Szoboszlai gets the goal and it's a worldie. Mm. But I did think on that day that, you know, we were there for the taking, Liverpool, no doubt, no doubt. If the Arsenal wanted to come and attack us, they probably would have got something, right? Because we'd been conceding goals for fun before that game. Mm. And he never really went for it. It looked like he was kind of shutting up shop and trying to play for a draw or a 1-0.
Okay.
Sort of felt a bit like that today as well. Like he played some, you know, played a lot of defensive midfielders in there today, Arteta. And it wasn't really until he brought on Eze in the second half. I thought Eze was fantastic, by the way. You know, put the assist to one side, because the assist was great for Martinelli. Brilliant finish from Martinelli. You know, if I'm an Arsenal fan, then I'm going, well, why was Eze not playing from the start? Why did you go really conservative and play within yourself in the first half? Because the first half, they weren't very good at all, to be honest with you. And the way that Haaland got in behind, there was no doubt that Haaland was ever going to score that goal. Mm. And I just thought, you know, that's a bit unambitious from Arsenal. And then they brought Eze on and they opened up a bit and attacked. And actually, they could have won the game. Right? Arsenal could have won the game in that second half. So what did you make of Arteta's approach there? And do you think that this whole... and well, let's not go down the whole, you know, have they missed another opportunity there to get, you know, 3 points on the board? I want to know from an FPL perspective, what you're thinking. Because Eze benched this week, I'm thinking, oh, that's not so good. And then he comes on, he makes all the difference. So I'm like, oh, he's not getting benched again, surely.
I mean, they've got more options now than they ever have. I think historically in that midfield, you've kind of been like Saka. If you don't want to go Saka, you can go Odegaard. If you don't want to go Odegaard, you can go Martinelli.
What did you make
of
Saka when he came on, by the way? Really?
I just think that the point,
really?
the point I have with the Arsenal midfield is it's not obviously, Saka is the best pick from Arsenal by a long way. I think he is by a long way still the best pick at Arsenal. The question for me is he worth 2.5 million more than Eze on the other side?
But today, you, and I said, how did you play today? And he was like, you were like, meh. He was fantastic when he came on.
But they both...
Fantastic.
But my mood is about FPL. It's because I don't care how they play. Playing well at football doesn't mean you're bringing me FPL points.
Okay.
There's been multiple games, even this weekend, where a player has played really well and they don't get FPL returns. So you come on and play well, great, that's nice, but it's all about potential for FPL returns. Now, obviously, the better they play, the more potential they have for returns. I take that on board. But for me, the critical thing is the amount of FPL points that you're going to get per the £1 million that you're going to spend on each of them. So I'm looking at them not in terms of who's the best player, not in terms of who's playing the best at the moment, but in terms of who's got the best potential for the amount of money I'm spending. So by having Eze over Saka and saving 2.5 million, does that mean that I'm having... I can't think of a good example, but maybe I'm, rather than having Giyu, I'm having Mateta up top.
Right, okay.
And that you have to look at it from that perspective. So when Saka and Eze come on, that's what I'm looking at. I'm not looking at how good they are for Arsenal, particularly. All right. I'm looking at them from a value perspective in FPL.
Okay. Well, Saka, his performance for me today, which is why I asked you the question, that performance today is the reason I might not wildcard this week. That's the one thing in my head I'm like, do I just want to see that again from Saka against Newcastle next week before I bring him in? And it doesn't mean that I might, you know, I can wildcard this week and then I'll carry my 2 free transfers through. I'll have 3 for the week that I might want to bring Saka in.
Mm.
But I just thought he looked full of beans today. Absolutely full of beans. And I thought he changed the game, him and Eze, when they come on. What do you make of Jokeres, though? Because there's a few comments in the chat talking about Jokeres being a bit of a flat track bully. Simon Nigel the Crab, thanks for the comment. Yeah, he said it a few weeks ago, flat track bully. I think there's something in that, Si. I think it is a Jokeres comment, but I think it's also a bit of an Arteta comment, because when they play the bigger sides, as we alluded to a second ago, he does seem to be Arteta a little bit less ambitious, a little bit less adventurous in the way that he bombs forward, and therefore Jokeres sees less of the ball. It's less in the final third. Whereas against the so-called lesser teams, Arteta seems to want to go for it, and therefore Jokeres sees more of the ball. So given the fixtures coming up, when you look at this, so here's the Arsenal fixtures for those on YouTube, right? So where are Arsenal? So Newcastle away in six. Yeah, of course, that's looking tricky. West Ham at home, Fulham away, Crystal Palace at home, Burnley away. This is the fixture swing from game week 7 that we've been waiting for Arsenal assets. And right now, I'm quite torn on Jokeres. I'm really not sure whether I want to spend the 9 million on him. He feels about a million overpriced a little bit. It feels like an 8.85 to me rather than a 9. But mate, you've pursed your lips there for those on the podcast. So you think I'm barking up the wrong tree. You like him?
No.
right, okay.
No, I don't like him.
Why did you go, ooh, like that then?
Because you said he was overpriced, and I don't think he's overpriced. I just don't think he's good enough in FPL.
And therefore a bit overpriced?
No, because I think in the Arsenal team, he had to be that money. When you look at who else is around, he's going to be the Arsenal number 9. I think he had to be the price point that he is. I think the big question for me is he good enough to displace some of the cheaper FPL options in attack?
Yeah. Is he one of your three priorities?
And is he even one of the three priorities at Arsenal? Because in reality...
Oh, yeah. Come on.
No.
Please.
I disagree.
Oh, what, of your three in FPL, you mean?
Yeah.
Ah, right. Okay. I'm thinking, is he like Arteta's priority in the number 9?
Oh,
yeah,
I don't care.
Yes. But in FPL...
I mean, Arteta, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Oh, I
but
see what
FPL,
you mean. Would you have three Arsenal players ahead of him? Well, maybe if you go double defence. Yeah,
I
maybe.
Think there are,
yeah, maybe.
There are... I think, you know, the conversation between... Even if I was going for two attackers and one defender, I still think I'd prefer to have Eze and Saka than I would put Jokeres in there.
Not on pens. I really see Jokeres.
Well, we don't
is he?
Know
well,
that.
Well,
yet.
He's probably not, is he?
Well, we don't. Not. We still don't really know, do we? Because Arteta says, oh, you know, he... But I think what Si and the guys in the chat were saying is important, because I do think against the weaker sides, Jokeres is significantly better FPL investment. We saw that in his best performance so far against Leeds in game week 2.
Yeah.
We know that he's going to be good in those games. And when you look at the fixtures that they have coming up, obviously Newcastle defensively are quite solid. So that's different. But then after that, kind of West Ham, Fulham, Crystal Palace, Burnley, Sunderland... Crystal Palace is difficult. They've been good defensively this season, but there's four fixtures in there right up until the North London Derby in game week 12. There's four of those six fixtures that are teams that you really would expect Jokeres to be able to get something against.
Okay.
The thing I would say is if Jokeres can get something against them, that also means that probably Saka and Eze are likely to get something against them because of the assists as well.
Totally agree. Yeah, totally agree. All right, let's move it on, Sam. Let's go to that bonkers game on Saturday that we alluded to at the beginning of the stream there. Manchester United 2, Chelsea 1. I mean, we've already said about, you know, what sort of a level of brain fart that was from Robbie Sanchez right at the beginning. Absolutely ridiculous. And then an equally weird one from Casemiro, right? When he picked up the first booking, my first thought was, and again, we weren't watching the game, we were listening to the game, but when the radio commentator was just like, oh, there's a booking for Casemiro, I was like, he'll be off.
Oh, lame.
I was just like,
what
have you done? Oh, you've dropped your napkin in the tea. That's devastating news. Oh, that's devastating news, that.
I've got a problem now.
It's devastating news. Got no tea. Have another chocolate. Come on. Have a chocolate.
Oh, I'm so upset.
That is. Do you want to? Should we stop everything so you can make another cup
Look
of tea?
Guys.
The guys don't want to see it. They don't need the guys on YouTube. The podcasters, for the podcasters, this is just such bad content, Sam. It's such bad content. Can we get back to the FPL content?
Yeah.
Devastating it.
It's worse than not having any peach iced tea.
That is so bad. I'd be kicking off if I were you. Man United 2, Chelsea 1. Bobby Sanchez brain fart. Casemiro brain fart. Rain lashing down, Palmer off early, Bruno scoring goals from central defensive midfield. I mean, what else to say about this game? João Pedro with no points for us. It's a bonkers game. It's one of those
benched.
Games. Cucurella benched. Look at the yellow cards, by the way. There were 5 yellow cards for Chelsea, none for Man United. One of those games where you just don't... I struggled to break it down. I'll be honest with you, I struggled to break it down. What did you... Talk us through the game from your perspective. What do you think?
I lied. It wasn't Cucurella that was benched. Cucurella was booked and then taken off, wasn't he? He was subbed off early-ish.
Oh, yeah. It was Cucurella benched last week, wasn't it?
It was last week, yeah. It was mad. And I didn't really see this result coming. Like, in my head, even though Tom kept banging on to me about how they haven't beaten Manchester United since... Sir Alex Ferguson was in charge.
Bogey team, right?
And I was like, sorry, after all of those terrible things that had happened to Manchester United, Chelsea have not beaten them since Sir Alex. And he was like, no. And I was like, hmm. And it put me off the captain of João Pedro, thankfully, because I was going to captain him.
Yeah, so you were keen. Yeah,
I was very keen. Yeah, and in the end, I was boring. But boring paid off-ish this week. But, I mean, better than João Pedro anyway. I don't know with Chelsea. I find it really difficult. I do not like them defensively at all, really. And I know that they've kept some clean sheets so far this season. And I understand that Sanchez is popular. And I also understand that he's not going to miss any games in the Premier League because it's a one-match ban. He's going to serve it in the League Cup. So, actually, it won't have too much further impact on FPL managers. But he is not a player that I would hold on wildcard or even think about bringing in. And, in fact, defensively, there's no one of any interest to me from a Chelsea perspective, because we have had rotation and they're not so solid as they were previously. João Pedro, though, I think will continue to get stays because I do think, despite nothing in this one, he is still one of the best forwards to have in the game.
Probably, yeah. Probably.
Mm. You're not sure?
Well, I don't know. I just was, again, listening to Maresca's comments after the game. He was obviously a bit spiky about the Palmer thing because he knew he was going to be asked about it.
Mm.
And I know there's a bit of narrative on Twitter and online about, you know, is the Club World Cup catching up with them a little bit? They're starting to get a few niggly injuries. You know, the Palmer injuries there. Who is the lad at the back who got the ACL? We've got him as well, right?
Colwell.
I think Fofana's kind of in and out of fitness. So it's a bit, I can't get my head around whether that's just like easy narrative. Like, you know, oh, Kyle Palmer had to go off for 20 minutes because he's got a recurrence of a groin injury. Must be the Club World Cup. You know, I don't know if that's just easy narrative or whether actually there is something in it. I don't know.
I don't think there is yet. Like, I don't buy this yet. Like, if you were telling me this at Christmas, I'd buy into it because then I think they're tired.
Yeah.
But they've not.
You can't
that
read anything
anymore
into this game. It got down to 10 men after 3 minutes. It's so hard for them, isn't it? It's so hard for them. And actually, the fact they got back in the game, I know that Casemiro's got the red, but the fact that Shalaba's gotten back in the game, it's there's something you could, you know, if I want to say something positive about Chelsea, which is very unlike me, it's just that's some spirit there, isn't there, to try and come back
there
into that
fight.
Game.
There was for sure some fight.
I said to you at half-time, I said, if United are 2-0 up here, this was just before the Casemiro red, I think I said to you, United 2-0 up against 10 men, even they can't mess this up. If they mess this up, it would be historic, it would be generational mess up, wouldn't it? And they nearly did. Because by get Casemiro sent off and then Shalaba gets them back in, even in the most comfortable position you could be in, they still did their best to mess it up. But what I did see actually with full time, when the full time whistle blew, and I watched some of the highlights on YouTube, it was like relief. You've got players falling to their knees. You've got Amorim like looking up into the heavens. There was just this tangible relief, right? Which demonstrates you how much pressure they're under to get results, Manchester United. Whereas, so I don't know about João Pedro. Is there better options at his price bracket? I don't think so. And I think the fact that you've got this game here, they lose it, he gets nothing from an FPL perspective, but they played 87 minutes with 10 men. I'll cut him some slack.
And also,
you've got to cut him a bit of slack, I think.
Yeah, and I think you look at the fixtures. So Brighton, who we'll talk about them in a minute, but defensively they have not been keeping clean sheets, so there's definitely potential there. After the Brighton game, they've got you lot don't keep clean sheets very often. Then it's Forest, who are going to be all out attack, so they'll probably get something there. Sunderland, Spurs, Wolves, Burnley before Arsenal, then it's Leeds and Bournemouth. Like, there's definitely goals for João Pedro across those matches. The fixtures remain kind for Chelsea.
I can't just go off him because of this. He's had a great start to the season, hasn't he? You know, we sat here last week talking about how much great value was. Yeah, okay. Very good. All right, well, that was a bonkers game. Anything else to say about this game? I don't think so.
No.
It's a crazy game, wasn't it? Crazy game. Enjoyable, but crazy game. Let's move on to... Let's go to Brighton versus Spurs then. 2-2, which you have to say, I think, given you're away from home, you played in the Champions League in midweek. You're 2-0 down against a pretty good Brighton. So let's not beat around the bush. Going to the Amex is not an easy game. So to come back and get a 2-2, I think you've got to be very happy. I think you'll be very happy with that.
Yeah, I'm actually really proud of them. The second half performance was one
very
of
good,
the best
right?
performances I've watched from Spurs
very
in
good.
A very long time.
Yeah, very good.
I did not like the starting 11 at all. When I saw the team sheet, I was like, what the hell's Wilson
Simon's
doing starting?
Bench, no?
Why is Simon's on the bench? Why the hell is Wilson starting? If Simon's is on the bench, why the hell is Brennan Johnson not starting? Where has Spence gone? Now, Spence, I think, needed a rest, to be fair. He did look quite tired in the Champions
this
League.
This is it. You're going to have to do this, aren't you? This is what Ange didn't do last season, and he broke all the players.
The Spence thing I get, he played you Doggy, who needed the start, and it worked fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
The Wilson one, I did not understand it at all, because...
Wilson what? Odebear?
Yeah, because Brennan Johnson hasn't had a start for ages.
Yeah.
So give Bren the start. At least you know what you're getting with Brennan. Wilson's
he prefers
not...
Brennan right, though, doesn't he? Not left.
No, Brennan's been playing on the left the whole season because Kudus has been on the right.
Right.
So, and then he's been benched in the last couple to play Xavi in the Champions League and in the last Premier League game. So why not play Brennan and give him the start? I didn't understand it. Mm. But anyway, who am I to question the master? So... We'll leave
master,
it to that.
Yeah.
But what I loved about it from a Spurs perspective is we go 2-0 down. I think we're a bit unlucky to be 2-0 down. We had moments of really good quality stuff going on in the first half as well.
Ayari's goal is like it's a hit in it as well.
It's a hit, yeah.
Vicario does get a glove on it. And I'm like, when I first saw it, I was like, he's got to save that. He's got to.
No.
But then you look from the angle behind Ayari, and it's like the way he hits it, it's like got some swaz on it, to be fair. So it's a good strike.
So I think we're unlucky to go in... two down. Like, we're unlucky to go two down. But then the second half, Xavi comes on, makes the world
I think he makes
difference.
A difference. I've said the to you before, he's a quality player.
Yeah,
quality player.
And we had more control in the midfield. We were spirited in a way that we weren't last season. I said to you, didn't I? Last season, we go 2-0 down, we end up losing 4 or 5. Because we just go, carry on saying nonsense. This time around... We adapted, but we made changes that were positive, and we came back into the game. And actually, towards the end of the game, we were unlucky not to win the game by the end. We had a couple of really good chances right at the end where we probably could have nicked it. But I think, again, away at Brighton, who are our bogey team, we don't play well against Brighton ever. We always seem to lose against them. So it's good to have... to have a positive result. And finally, Leroy Brown Bear, some kudos points.
Yes. A couple
two
of assists.
Assists.
For kudos.
From my boy.
What did you make of his... Well...
No, they aren't... Please.
Can I just say it?
Don't
and then
start.
You can come back at me if you like.
Lee really upset me yesterday watching Match of the Day because he's going to say what he said to me and I get very upset about it.
The finger's out and everything. Like, the podcasters can't see that you've got your finger out wagging it at me like some old fishwife.
Because what are you about? You're about to upset me again, aren't
you? Yeah, I am, because I'm going to tell you. I'm absolutely going to say to you, I've got people saying in the chat, Lee, don't you dare. I'm going to go there. Two of the luckiest assists you'll see all season.
No.
Lucky assists.
No, you can't be lucky.
It's fine. Because his overall play, I think, over the last few weeks, I think you've deserved points in games where he hasn't got them.
I don't begrudge
anybody the 9 or 10 pointer he got or whatever.
It's 7.
All right, 7. I can't begrudge anybody the 7 points he got. But that's 2 jammy assists.
No.
I mean, the first one, he shoots, misses massively because it's going off target and it just hits Richarlison and Richarlison scores. So if he actually was any good at shooting, he'd have got it on target, but he wasn't. He's rubbish. It's hit Richarlison and gone in. And the second one, obviously, off Van Hek's left bollock.
No, it's not.
It is. Come on.
He puts the ball across. It's a great ball across. Van Hek decides to get in Paulinho's way and score an own goal. It's not my fault that Van Hek wants to be a Spurs fan. He'd play her. He wanted to come last summer and their Brighton team wouldn't let him. So, you know, it's not my problem that Van Hek wants to be Spurs.
I'm just saying, kudos, you're wrong. Kudos owners, well done. I don't begrudge you the 7 points. It's been other games where you deserve points. You've not got them. Well done. All good.
I'm really unhappy
with
you.
Two lucky assists. What can you say?
They're not lucky. You're very, very, very,
you
very
called,
frustrating.
You said to me last week, the Semenyo assist for the Alex Scott goal was really lucky. And I said, yes, it was.
Well, it was lucky because it's just a forward pass. He's not.
Why can't you just accept that it's lucky assist?
Semenyo just passes the ball and gets an assist for it. Kudus put in two great crosses.
He
could have had
you.
Multiple other... He could have probably had 4 assists in this game. He was really good. Anyway.
I can't help you. It's honestly, it's 2 lucky assists, but well done. 7 points is good.
I'm really
FPL,
cross with you.
FPL assets from both Brighton and Spurs then. So do Spurs first. I've still got Pedro Porro. There's no way that he makes the cut on my wild card.
But will you keep a Spurs?
Probably.
What do you mean probably?
Probably. Well,
do we need to get the picture out?
Have a look at these fixtures. They do look good. Wolves, Leeds, Villa, Everton, Chelsea. I mean, yes, you probably want to keep a Spurs defender, but I can't keep Porro, can I? But it's going to be Van de Ven. I don't like having Van de Ven in my team. But
are you jealous?
I just don't want him.
Is it because you're jealous that I love him?
I just don't want him, Sam.
You're just jealous that I love him.
What is he, 4.6 or 4.7? It's just like, just can't turn down value like that.
You're just jealous.
Just can't turn down value
like that. Just because he's super handsome.
And if it was that, you know, if Romero was that little bit cheaper, I'd have him instead.
There's hardly any difference in price between the two of them.
Well, you know, there's still enough, though. It's still enough, I think. But anyway, Porro, definitely going to go. The question is, who else from Spurs might you have on the wild card? Because I have some thoughts. It's not Mohamed Kudus, but who are you thinking?
Well, I've got Kudus at the moment.
And surely after them two amazing assists, you're not transferring him out.
Well, we'll find out when we get to the wild card in a little bit, won't we? The good thing about Kudus is he's cheaper. So he actually does fit budgets quite nicely. Xavi is that little bit more expensive because he comes in at 7. So you've got to find a little bit more money to have him.
I think he's worth it though, Xavi.
It's
the one I'd go to, I think.
I think he's worth it too.
I think. That benching put me off a little bit today, though. But a bit like Eze, when he comes on, he makes a difference.
I wouldn't let the benching put you off.
Really?
Because I think, in reality, he's arrived, immediately played a Premier League game, started it immediately, and then immediately started a Champions League game. No real bedding in time there. No real getting used to the pace of the Premier League,
He's settled in.
He's just gone bang straight in, two games
like
in a week. Would have been then three games in a week had he started this one. That is quite a lot with no adaption
Wolves
time.
Wolves at home next as well. I mean, what a fixture.
And he's on set what pieces, which is obviously something. Kudus has corners from that side, but Xavi's going to have the corners and obviously the free kicks as well. If you've got 0.4, because I think that's what's different between them, because I think Kudus is still at 6.6. So if you've got 0.4, then I do think that Xavi is the better pick.
Mm.
But what I will say is that if on wildcard I don't have 0.4, it wouldn't put me off sticking with Mo.
Sorry, when you said Mo, I was thinking Salah, but with Kudus.
The only Mo.
Come on, please. Two jammy assists. You're like better than Mo Salah. Okay. Fair
dues.
You are
in big trouble. You said you don't want Mickey van der Ven in your team.
I'm moving on.
You're just jealous of him and his handsomeness.
Moving on. Right, let's
talk. Where are we going?
I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
Your boys? The other Mo?
I think maybe let's do Bournemouth versus Newcastle first, because that is now three away games for Newcastle, all ending 0-0.
I did say, I'm just going to put it out there.
Come on.
That I did say everywhere I went this week that I thought this game would be 0-0.
Did you? Okay. Did you have any Newcastle or Bournemouth defenders?
Well, no.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Well, I didn't make a transfer this week.
Right.
And also, if I was going to have a Newcastle defender, do you remember when I said about wildcard in a few weeks ago and I said I wanted Fabian Schär because I thought that Newcastle would get clean sheets?
Mm.
I mean, I appreciate that you didn't play this one because he's concussed, but I was right.
Okay.
Just didn't follow it through, did I? Standard Sam from FPL Family Behaviour.
All right. Well, I've been saying for a few weeks that Bournemouth look very good defensively and the fixtures look good going forward. So I actually did do something that I said I would do, and I bring in Senesi last week.
Yeah, but that was last week.
Which was all right. Last week, I think he got like three or something because he got the DEFCON again last week. But this week, in this game, DEFCON again, Senesi. Again. Only him and Tarko are getting it every single week so far. I just think he looks like a great pick. He's just a great pick, Senesi. At 4.5, he might even be 4.6 now. Whatever he is, in a team that's playing very well, right? You know, even in the post-match conference after this, they asked Semenyo about, you know, what did he make of the game and stuff. And he was like, well, look, we've started really well. So we've set the bar very high.
Yeah.
So because of that,
we'll keep going now.
You have to say a home draw to Newcastle is, you know, they're coming out of that feeling a bit like upset. They want a win out of that. Whereas actually, in the cold light of day, they might look back at that. Both teams actually might look back at this and go, actually, that's an all right point. That was an all right point. Mm. And to be fair, both could have won. I watched a bit of the game today. A draw was probably fair. But I'm very happy to have Semenyo and Senesi going forward because I just think Bournemouth look great. I think they're really good. A quick word on Walter Mahler today. What did you make of him?
I don't know what I make of this guy.
Mm. So it's limited data so far, right?
There is.
You can't really tell much.
And even less because he didn't start in the Champions League. So we've got even less data because I thought we might have an extra match where we could kind of have a look.
Yeah.
But I'm yet to really think that he's the right thing in FPL.
Do you know what he looked like? What it looked like to me? It looked like he needed a Vissa there alongside him today.
I think he does, but I don't think Vissa's going to be back quickly, is he?
I don't think so. No. I don't think so. But then you play the two of them, it's almost like a bit of a change in system versus what they're used to, Newcastle. Mm. So I'm really interested to see, once they're all fit, how Newcastle kind of settles down. I haven't got a read on them yet. And no. I haven't got a read on Walter Mare. So no way I'm bringing him in on wildcard. But I think there's definitely a player in there. The header last week was great.
There's a player, but it's just, is he an FPL asset? And I haven't worked that out yet.
We don't know yet. Thank you for the super chat, Malachi Fox. Thank you, mate, for the super chat. Hi, Sam and Lee.
Hey, Malachi.
I hope you're both well. We are, thank you. Adross, 52 points on bench boost, but up to 77k. So we go again next weekend. Malachi, 52 ain't too bad, mate. I know you've used a bench boost here, but it's not the end of the world. And 77k, you cannot complain with that, mate. That is a good place to be. There's people that would give you their right arm that'd be 77k.
Including me.
At the moment, including Sam from FPL Family.
Well, maybe not my right arm. I like that one better. I'll maybe give you my left.
Give you the left. Yeah, give you the left. Right, Liverpool 2, Everton 1.
Were you a bit lucky to hold on at the end?
Well, don't you... Right, come on, what? Just because I said that about Kudus,
there's going to be all sorts of bants coming on now.
Go on then.
You've had a pop at Vicky van der Ven. You don't want him in your team. You've said about Kudus.
Right.
Come on then.
No, you go. Listen, we're 5 from 5, top of the league, and I will get my popcorn out and listen to you have a go at my team. Go on then. Go on.
Right.
Let's go.
They do annoy me, Lee, your team.
Great.
I'm not being funny.
We're rattling all of our main rivals, and you should be lucky I call you a main rival. Next.
Oh, jeepers, creepers. Why is it that you can't not fall asleep in games and keep me a clean sheet?
2-0 does seem to be a challenging scoreline for us to...
Why? Nothing's happening. Wow. Everton aren't really in it. Everything's calm. And then you lot fall asleep and Virgil loses his clean sheet.
You know why?
I'm very cross.
You know why? Because I've spent the last 18 months telling you why.
I'm very cross about it.
How many times have I said it?
And then it's a panic.
We
then
get complacent. Panic.
The end of the game is a panic. Everyone's panicking. And then Verts comes on and immediately gets booked and gets a 0-pointer.
Yeah.
Now, I listen to you tell me how when Isak starts, you know, Verts is going to be the best thing in the FPL since sliced bread.
I didn't say that, but okay.
Yes, you did. You said, maybe not a sliced bread bit, but you were like, when Verts plays with Isak, he's going to have all this space. Someone's going to be in his area. He's going to be this person. He's going to be that. He's going to be the other. He's going to be brilliant. I was like, okay, I'll buy into your narrative.
Scott Schrager's like, another week in the doghouse. Every week, Scott.
I think, right, okay, I'm going to go and test this theory. And to be fair, I did. So I said to Neil, I'm going to test the theory that Lee's got. So I go into the scout members area and I start pulling heat maps from these players. So
who?
Isak last season.
Yeah.
So I've got Isak from last season.
Okay.
I've got Gakpo's heat map from last season. Yeah. I can't get one for Verts. So I'm just looking at Verts' heat map from the opening four.
Yeah. Where's this going?
And I've got Ekitike's from the opening four. And I'm layering them on top of each other.
Well done.
To work out whether it looks likely.
Yeah.
That when Isak's up top, Verts is going to be better. Now, the upside of all of this is that there was some...
I was right.
There was some truth in what you were saying.
You were allowed to say it. Yeah. Lee, you're right.
No, because you weren't right. Because then what happened on Saturday lunchtime, Lee Bonfield from FPL Family?
What?
What did Scott do?
He benched Verts.
Yeah. Bloody idiot. What's he doing that for? And not only
probably because he's played near enough every minute of every game we've had so far, and we've got options, he's got to rotate the squad.
Well, in the end, he came on for a 0-pointer, but actually, given that Ronaldo was my first sub, we got -2.
You're quite happy with that?
I was quite happy with 0. Thank you, Clarion. Anyway, that's my view. Tell me about Liverpool.
Is that it? Are you done?
Yeah, because I actually like Liverpool. I'm not like you. I don't hate on Spurs every 5 minutes.
So that summary of the rant about my team is, Lee, you're right about everything you said about Liverpool.
No, you know, I didn't say that.
Okay.
I said I'm annoyed. I'm still annoyed that
Look
you sleepwalk.
Look at the
defensive. I'm still annoyed that you sleepwalk in games. I own Virgil van Dijk.
We did it for 18 months.
I mean, thank God he picked up Defcon, because otherwise I would have purely... There would have been
Defcon,
pure rage.
Lots of Defcon.
But then it's so frustrating because he should have got 8.
Well, look.
If you keep a clean sheet, he probably also picks up a BAP.
Well, look, here's the summary of the game. The summary of the game is, and, you know, God bless him, honestly. You know how much I love Jota. And Sunday after Sunday, I come on here and talk about the work rate that he puts in. And I always thought he was a Ballon d'Or contender. I always used to be like, why is this guy being overlooked for Ballon d'Or? Because he's like so, so good. And I miss him. We miss him dearly at Jota.
Where are you going with this?
I have a new favourite for the Ballon d'Or. And this time, this is not a joke. Ryan Gravenberch is probably the best midfielder in the world right now.
Oh, shut. Right. Why have you got to take it to extremes? Why have you got to do this? Why can't you just say...
Tell me who's better than Ryan Gravenberch right now. He's got absolutely everything, Ryan Gravenberch. What a player. Honestly.
He's not the best player in the world right now.
I didn't say that. Best midfielder in the world right now. But if you want me to go with best player in the world right now, I'm happy to.
You're so wrong. He might be the best midfielder at Liverpool right now.
Oh, God.
But he's not the best midfielder in the world right now, is he?
Oh, people are just in the chat going, what about Yamal and Pedri and people like that? I'm like, yeah, put him in there if you want. Put him in that bracket because he definitely should be in that bracket. Here is...
But you're saying he's better than all of these
here
people.
Here is a hot take from Lee from FPL Family. Hot take. Not the one that's coming up imminently. In a year's time... We will be talking about Ryan Gravenberch for Ballon d'Or.
We will be.
Because if Rodri can get it, so can he.
You're ridiculous.
And he's better than Rodri.
You really are.
Kingdom FC saying this whole pod is basically just hot takes. It is, mate. I'm not going to lie. It is.
It's just Lee being ridiculous minute after minute.
He was fantastic, Ryan Gravenberch.
That doesn't make you the best midfielder in the world.
He's so good, Sam.
What's the squad do with FPL?
I don't know, not a lot. What do you make of the rest of the Liverpool squad, though? Because you're right in what you said there when you were saying how much you thought I knew about Liverpool and I was right about everything. You are correct. Ekitike, and he did it a lot in this game, right? Drop deep, drift left, right? Which when Wirtz is not playing is sort of okay, because when he's dropping into Maka's space and Szoboszlai's space, they like to get a little bit wider anyway to help the wide players.
Right.
But Wirtz doesn't. He likes to stay very, very central. If anything, he likes to drift into a 10. And he and Ekitike are just getting in the same positions. So I don't know whether there's something where... I don't know whether Slot has kind of spotted that and gone, well, Isak's not fully up to speed yet and I started him last in the Champions League, so I've got to start Ekitike, so therefore I won't start Wirtz. But I think longer term, I think Isak and Wirtz is going to work. It's too good not to work. And we saw a little bit of it against... who did we play? Atletico Madrid. We saw a little bit of it against Atletico Madrid in the Champions League about the way that they connect. And I think when Isak plays, Wirtz is going to be, you know, he's just a brilliant player. He's a brilliant, brilliant player. But for FPL right now, I have to say, it's getting harder and harder to know who to pick in FPL. Notice that, and you know, Frimpong is very highly owned. Your mic's gone off, I think.
No, I muted it because you told me off.
Oh, right, okay. I just didn't see the little green bar going there. Frimpong didn't play this week. He decided to play Conor Bradley, which was absolutely the right thing, notice. Strategic, sort of tactically, against Grealish.
Bradley was great,
The last thing you want to do is stick Frimpong and Salah on that side and just let Grealish go. Right? You don't want to do that. Put Conor there and Conor puts him in his back pocket for most of the game. Konate and Virgil get the DEFCONs. Virgil, I think, just at the end getting the DEFCONs, but, you know, deservedly. But from an FPL perspective on the forwards, it's getting harder and harder to choose. Now, Mo gets the assist in this game, so that's nice for us as captainers, I guess. And, you know, when that assist goes in, you're like, oh, okay, maybe we're going to get, you know, the double-digit haul we're waiting for as Salah captainers. And actually, with the team as it was, with Ekitike playing and with McAllister and Szoboszlai in the middle, I did think that actually that's a bit more like what we had last season, and therefore Mo will come into the game a bit more. But he didn't really. He didn't. He had one chance that kind of fell to him fairly fortuitously halfway through the first half, and he left foot just whipped it over the bar, where in previous seasons, that sort of thing he'd put in the top corner. But particularly in the second half, he was a little bit anonymous. Now, listen, that was our third game in a week. Bit of fatigue probably creeping in the second half, all that sort of stuff, right? And it's the Merseyside derby, so it's not just any old game, right, this weekend.
Yeah.
However, it's still really hard to keep Salah. Still really hard to keep him, I think. And even with Gakpo as well, I'm finding it quite hard to keep Gakpo now, given that he got hauled on 60 minutes. And maybe we start seeing some of the other guys taking minutes off of him. So all that goes to say is that with the wild card looming, potentially in six, if not in seven for me, then who am I having from a Liverpool attacking perspective? I don't know right now.
Mm.
I actually don't really know.
I am just looking for... I saw a tweet and I meant to take a photo of it and I didn't. About Salah in FPL over the last few years and the points that he got in the last few seasons and how behind he is now where he has been in all bar one, I think, of like the last, well, since he's been in FPL,
since
basically.
FPL points. Yeah.
Yeah, by game week five.
Yeah, this is his second worst start to any season.
I was looking
FPL
for the, yeah, and
wise.
I was just, but it's,
it's all relative,
I was looking
right?
for the numbers because it's, but it's quite a substantial number behind. It's like, it's not insignificant. And the problem I have with it is that I look at the Liverpool fixtures and I think, oh, I still want in on that. Like, the fixtures aren't bad any stretch.
Let's have a look. So, Crystal Palace away next. Chelsea away after that. Manchester United at home. Brentford away. Aston Villa at home. It's okay. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
It's still enough decent fixtures that I want to go there. But I think you're right in what you say. It's really, really difficult to know which... If you don't go for Salah... It's really hard to know where else you go.
Yeah.
Now, one of the thoughts, because Isak is the obvious answer, but how quickly do we see him regularly get in the starts? How much minute sharing do we see him get with Ekitike? What happens in midweek for the League Cup will be really interesting. Because
we've got Southampton, I think, if I remember
you
right.
Have.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm hoping is that Ekitike gets the start against Southampton, and then that leads for an Isak start at the weekend.
I don't think that's going
to happen. But I don't think that's going to happen because he played Ekitike at the weekend. I think he's going to play Isak.
Give Isak minutes, yeah.
So if he gives Isak the minutes, does that mean he's on reduced minutes again at the weekend in your fixture?
Depends how long he gets, I think, against Southampton.
And that's problematic, right? Because if we're then going to get into...
By the way,
cycle,
Palace away is a hard fixture.
I know. If we're then going to get into this cycle of not really knowing... who's going to get the start, it's very difficult to pick either Ekitike or Salah or Isak, sorry. And I know Ekitike was one of the most transferred out players this week on the basis that people didn't really know what they were doing. And he was very close to becoming the first forward this season to pick up DEFCON points. He got very close to picking him up.
Yeah. That just shows you my theory's right. He's dropping deep. He's getting involved.
Yeah,
ball recoveries, right? Yeah.
So I think from a Liverpool perspective, right now, it's very difficult to pick anyone other than Salah, and even then you have to question whether Salah's actually worth 14.5 million,
especially if you want the big Norwegian. No,
especially if you want the big Norwegian.
Okay, so what's your answer then? Liverpool players on a wild card, which forward would you have, if any, right now?
Can I delay my answer to that question for when we talk about the wild card squad that I've created?
Yeah,
because
of course you can.
There's a sort of plan in it. But
yeah.
I think, I will answer that
all right
in about 5 minutes.
Okay. How much were you loving the Dewsbury Hall booking for taking the free kick early? And have we ever seen anything like that before in our lives?
Yeah, but this is another one. Mateta with the corner flag the other week, it's a booking. When's that been a booking before? I remember
so
Jamie Vardy lifting the flag up and running around and throwing it.
Yeah.
And that wasn't a booking.
Mateta did the same this week, didn't he? Kicked the corner flag, but because it didn't break, no booking.
What?
He got a booking the other week, didn't he, for doing the same thing?
Yeah.
I just don't understand
it.
The Dewsbury Hall free kick for taking the free kick early is utter nonsense. It's complete and utter nonsense.
Grealish was like...
Another one from the refs that they're just absolutely ridiculous. And now, Dewsbury Hall, he's on four yellows now. He's on four yellows.
An FPL asset.
So he's one away from a suspension, right? One away from a suspension, which is kind of mad.
Please tell me if you wildcard, you would not keep Dewsbury Hall.
We'll talk about that when we get to our wildcard drafts.
If I see Dewsbury Hall in there, I'm going to question your actual knowledge of football.
Right, so there it is. 2-1 to Liverpool. 5 played, 5 wins, top of the league. Very, very good indeed. What else to discuss, Sam? We've got to rattle through the rest of these games. Anything to discuss? Villa get their first goal of the season against Sunderland, but still manage only a 1-1. Great goal by Matty Cash, by the way. What a belter.
Yeah, but doesn't it feel like that was what was going to inevitably happen at some point? Someone was going to score a bit of a worldy goal.
But as a Villa fan, you're sitting there going, okay, thanks for that, but we're at 90 minutes and we've just drawn to one of the teams that have come up and they've only had 10 men for most of the game.
Yep.
That's not a good result for Villa, is what I'm saying.
I'm agreeing with you. Right, and what I'm saying is that it was like a moment of good stuff from Matty Cash.
Yeah.
That doesn't fix.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, it doesn't mean that they're creating anything. He's just scored a belter out of nowhere.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm still not impressed at all.
And if you are on wildcard, or even if you're not, Watkins just, and Rodgers out? I think you have to.
Regardless of whether you're wildcarding, I know they've got... Is it Burnley next, isn't it? But how long do you keep going... Oh, but it's Sunderland next. Oh, but it's
Fulham at home next, then Burnley at home, then it's Spurs and Man City and Liverpool. I don't think I'm going to keep for them too.
I'm not going to keep.
It's just, I'm just not, oh, just, they're just not creating anything.
I'd rather have a big Norwegian with blonde ponytail.
It's too bad. All right, anything else? Burnley 1, Forest 1, Nico Williams with the goal. Happy days. I was very pleased with that.
I want to call you out on that for a minute.
Why?
Do you want to explain why Nico Williams ended up on your pitch?
Because I did some research on the Fantasy Football Scout website. I did. And the guys at Fantasy Football Scout, this is why you should be a member over at Fantasy Football Scout, because it's such a great website. I did some research over there, and they showed me that actually Burnley, very low for XGC. And I was like, okay, I'll hedge my bets. I won't play Sells, but I'll play Nico Williams.
The best thing about this is that you know I can't argue with you because you've just been really nice about Scout.
Correct.
So you've deliberately put me under a bus there because I can't argue with you about that.
Correct.
But that is not what happened.
Yes, it is.
It's not what happened.
What happened then?
Well, you might have done that, but that's not what was happening. And on the drive back from Sky, I'm driving, you're sat next to me, and you're like, I don't know what to do here. Because you weren't playing Nico Williams when we left Sky.
He was on the bench quite early Saturday morning.
Yes. No, not even quite early Saturday morning. Still just about 20 minutes before the deadline was on your bench. And we're driving along and you said, oh, I don't know what to do about this Dubravka /Sells thing. And your back was a balls. And I said, hedge your bets, play one from each. So you went, okay, I'll play Dubravka and I'll play Nico Williams.
Yeah.
I deserve some thanks.
Thanks.
Because you picked up an extra point from the goalkeeper and you picked up a 10-pointer from Nico Williams.
Thanks. That's why I always listen to the FPL experts.
Oh, you are.
Thanks. Yeah.
Lee Brown, you are... Oh, I'm getting very upset with you.
Thank you for the advice. I took it and I got some points. Excellent news. Right, let's get on with this. Let's get on to our game week scores. Me or you first?
I'll go first.
You go first. Here is your game week score. 39 points. Talk us through it.
It was actually going really well yesterday. I was on a huge, like, 1.4 million green arrow and I was really happy. Because Kudus had done well. The back line in the absolute mud. But Virgil picked up some Defcon, so that's fine. So infuriating again with Munoz because you paid the extra million over Gehi. Gets an assist. That's frustrating. Sells with some save points, but should have played Dubravka in the end. It is what it is.
Mateta, though?
Mateta, I was pleased with. Yeah, he did well. João Pedro was expecting more from. That was fine. I knew that today was going to be hard because I went into today, I only had Ollie Watkins. So I had a 1.1 million green arrow buffer. And I said to you...
damage limitation today.
It was damage limitation. It was I need... And I was very specific about what I needed, wasn't I? I was like, I don't really care what happens in... Bournemouth versus Newcastle, but I would like the Bournemouth clean sheet to go and Semenyo can't do anything.
Yeah.
What happened was it ended 0-0. Semenyo was quiet from an attacking perspective, but he still got Defcon, so that hurt.
Yeah.
And then Senesi obviously did well, and that was my concern looking at the Newcastle. When I saw the Newcastle team, my concern was, I don't think there's a clean sheet. I think they'll clean sheet. Anyway, so that was a problem. The bigger problem happened in the 4:30 game.
Of course.
Because I said, I just need...
No City
both,
or Arsenal.
I need both clean sheets to go, because I don't want Arsenal clean sheeting. And when Man City score, it can't be Reinders or Haaland. And it was a combination of Reinders and Haaland. And in that moment, so the Senesi and Semenyo bit took away a lot.
Yeah.
But the Haaland-Reinders thing took away a lot more. And so, actually, it's pretty much a grey arrow. It's about 8k down on where I was last week.
Right.
So, I'm sort of fine with it. Like, it was a difficult week for me. The defence did not pull their weight.
Go again next week? Wildcard active?
Yeah. Not yet, but it will be.
Not yet, but it will be. All right.
I'm in another button while you talk through yours.
So, 219 points, 0.4 in the bank, couple of free transfers to go, possible wildcard, 39 points for the game week. This was my game week, 57 this week. Pretty good week, I think. 290 points overall. Who were the stars of the show? Well, the aforementioned Nico Williams coming in with the goal was awesome. We love to see it. Senesi in with the Defcons, and I think a bonus point as well. I think he snuck a one bonus point, so I'm very happy with that. The team for the podcast, so Dubravka in goal with a four. Senesi with 9, Porro 1, Munoz 2, Williams 10, Salah 10, Semenyo 5, as you said before, with the clean sheet point, and then the two Defcons. Bruno Fernandes 10, Gakpo 2, Watkins 2, João Pedro 2. So, yeah, there's one or two standouts in there, right? The Fernandes goal, the Williams goal, the Senesi clean sheet. That's what's made it, really. There's nothing else in that team other than that, really. The Semenyo extra Defcons are nice, but it's, you know, it's them three which are really carrying the team. So that moves my overall rank up to 1.2 million. Exactly like you, the City goal killed me. Absolutely killed me. I was checking my live rank before Man City versus Arsenal because I'd had just the Semenyo and the Senesi points come in. And I thought, oh, must be doing pretty well.
Where were you?
I was at 540K.
No way!
Yeah, 540K.
Well, that does explain it in terms of mine as well then, doesn't it?
So that tells you what, you know, those that are around me, that's hurt me massively. Going, you know, almost like doubling my rank, really, going from 540 to 1.2 on the back of a Reinders to Haaland.
Same with me.
And actually, Reinders is like 30-odd% owned. Haaland is 30-odd% owned. Oh. Even though it wiped out the Arsenal clean sheet, it hurts, no doubt. It hurts massively, and I've got to fix that. So yeah, that was the City goal killed it. I think I'm a little bit better off when the Martinelli goal goes in because then the City clean sheet goes.
Not many of them though. Anymore.
Not many of them around, so I got a little bit of a bump from that. But yeah, the Haaland goal was a problem, and actually, same as other weeks, right? He could have had more in that game. He could have had more.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
There is a problem I got to fix. Definitely a problem I got to fix. But 57 overall is pretty good, I think, this week. Given I didn't play a chip.
And you didn't have any red cards.
No reds. So I haven't got like a Sanchez problem or a Reinildo problem or anything like that. It was all right. So yeah, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with it. And 1.7 million in
Can
the
I
bank.
Can I ask you a question?
So, yeah, go on.
We move on because we're both thinking about wildcarding.
Yeah, yeah.
We've both done a wildcard draft, which we'll show you in a minute. I look at your team.
Yeah.
You got 2 free transfers.
Mm-hmm.
You can get Haaland for Watkins quite easily.
Yeah.
Why?
By getting rid of Salah, you mean?
Probably could do it with Bruno, could you not?
Bruno
right down?
Possibly. But I might not want to get rid of Bruno. So... This is my wildcard thinking, right? So so this is what I've done. Like,
do you like the new graphic, by the way?
I love it. I absolutely love it. The graphics are sensational. I think everybody's faces are correct on this one as well, which I absolutely love. But this is my.
What do you mean?
This is what I've put together as a wildcard for the live stream. Now, I still might not do it, right? But when I looked at, the key change for me is Watkins to Haaland. How do I go Watkins to Haaland?
Yeah.
I've got to get 5 million somewhere.
Yeah.
I've got 1.7 in the bank.
Okay.
So let's say I need to find a net 3.2-ish, something like that. Now, yeah, sure. Salah to Foden or Salah to Reinders or Salah to anybody, you get that money. And in 2 free transfers, you have Haaland in your team.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have Salah. Is that okay? You can make peace. A lot of FPL managers would already have done that.
Made it, yeah.
I would already have done that. And for sure, that is an option. However, I could also find that net 1.3 by doing a number of things. One is I could take Gakpo down to Reinders.
Okay.
That gives me some money. And it doesn't, you know, to me, that doesn't feel like a massive sacrifice. To me, that's a shame I've got to lose a Liverpool player for a Man City one. But on the basis of what I saw today and the upcoming Manchester City fixtures, I'm pretty happy having Reinders.
Yeah.
So it doesn't feel like a massive sacrifice to me. Then I can find a net 1-ish million doing Porro to Van de Ven, as we discussed before.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to get my 3.2 that I need.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that doesn't feel like a big step down. That doesn't feel like a massive sacrifice.
Well, because it's not, no.
Doesn't feel it at all. I then can do Juve to Goodmanson. That gives me a 0.4. So again, a little bit more on my bank.
Mm-hmm.
Juve, West Ham, pretty useless. Goodmanson, I get a 4.0 back in my team. But if you're going to pick a 4.0, probably okay.
Mm-hmm.
So is that a big sacrifice? No, don't think so. And then in goal, I've gone down from 5 from Sells to Petrovic from Bournemouth.
Yeah.
I don't massively like it. I'd prefer to go up to Raya, I think. But again, as sacrifices go, doesn't feel like I'm shooting myself in the foot there, does it? So there's sacrifices, the why I would need to sacrifice to do Watkins to Haaland is Gakpo to Reinders, Porro to Van de Ven, Diouf to Goodmanson, and Sells to Petrovic. And if I do all of those things, I keep Salah. So there's three or four sacrifices there that I'm okay with. And it gives me Watkins to Haaland. And I get to keep Mo. Now, the question I have to ask myself really is, if I'm going to play the wild card this week, do I Arsenalify this a little bit, right? So this gives me Reinders and Haaland, and I'm pretty happy having them too, going into next week against Burnley. Okay, I wouldn't be out triple captain, so that's something I've got to consider. But Reinders and Haaland, sort of okay with that. Maybe I add something if something shows up defensively for them, right? Or if there's another player, if Foden does eventually come back in the form, maybe I have a think about that. But for now, Reinders and Haaland, I'm okay with that. Okay. But there's no Arsenal on this wild card. No Arsenal.
Yeah, I thought that was problematic when I was making this graph.
Now, what playing the wild card this week would enable me to do is roll my two threes through. So I'd go into game week 6 having played the wild card. Arsenal play Newcastle and I'd have no Arsenal. But then I'd go into 7 with 3 free transfers. So then could I Arsenalify my team using those free transfers?
No, you wouldn't. And you still have 2.
Don't I go into game week 6 having played the wild card with 2 free transfers and then I go into 7 with 3?
No, because you're carrying 1.
Right, okay.
You've got 2, right?
I got 2 free transfers right now, yeah.
You don't pick up another one for 6 because you're playing a wild card.
But I rolled one into this week, so I've got 2 free transfers.
You've got 2. Now the wild card is taking 6, so going into 7, you'll still have 2. You come out with what you go in. You don't add another one.
Is that right? I thought I went into 6.
No.
Holding the 2, and then I go into 7 and I get another one.
You have 2 transfers right now.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, 2 free transfers right now, yeah.
The chip being played, the wild card, cancels the additional chip that you would have for this week.
Yeah, so I go into 6 and don't have 3 free transfers in 6. No, I understand that. I just carry on having 2.
Come out with what you went in.
Yeah.
So you got 2.
Yeah.
So you go into 7 with 2.
Okay, I think it's 3. You can tell me if you think it's wrong. Anyway, 2 or 3.
It's definitely 2.
Okay, 2. So if I go into game week 7 with 2 free transfers then, I can bring some Arsenal players in. I can bring some Arsenal players in then with my 2 free transfers, right? If I wanted to, and I can take hits to get others if I wanted to. So I get more time. I get more information about Arsenal. I get to know whether actually he thinks benching Eze was the wrong thing to do this week and maybe he starts playing. I get a bit more information about whether Timber's locked in or not, right? I get a bit more information about them over the next week or so in the League Cup and against Newcastle. So that's currently what I'm thinking. Now, there's some other stuff in here that I might do, right? But actually, I don't dislike my team fundamentally.
Well, that was my
team
question.
Is actually, like, I set my bus team for game week 6. It looks kind of okay. Like, I don't hate it.
Yeah, see, my question with yours is, does your team actually... Because you're still keeping most of your midfield.
Yeah. Only one change.
And your back line is pretty much your back line now. 2 players changing. One of them's Mickey van der Ven swapping from Porro, so very little change there.
Yeah.
The goalkeepers are changing one of the 2, so there's more there. And the front line, you're changing 1 player. That doesn't feel like a team that's been maximising potential of the wildcard. I guess that's what I'm saying. Because, and I also look at that team and I go, I still think there's a problem there. Because if you're going to wildcard, you surely are thinking about a bench boost. At some point, relatively soon around
that
it.
That chip's so overrated. It's so overrated. So this wild card, so playing the wild card this week is to get Haaland and keep Salah. It's a Haaland-Salah wild card, right? That's what this is. No doubt about it. Otherwise, I don't play the wild card. I use my 2 free transfers and I do Salah to Reinders and I do Watkins to Haaland. And I have a shitload of money in the bank. That's an option. That's an option. But I'm playing the wild card because I want to keep Salah, get Haaland, and to do that, I've got to make 4 or 5 little mini sacrifices, which I don't mind. So is it worth it to play the wild card just to get Haaland in this team? whilst keeping Salah? Or do I just don't have Salah?
Yeah. Well, there's two options, isn't there? You can do it for free without Salah. If you sacrifice Salah, you do it for free.
Yeah, yeah.
You sacrifice Bruno and you do it for a -4.
Possible,
or
yeah.
Or you wild card.
I don't mind Bruno against Brentford, though, by the way.
No, I know you don't. But I think this is my point, isn't it? Is that your team... I'm not sure that your team... My team needs it. It needs it badly. Well, I'm not sure does.
So let's go to yours then. So that was my thinking, right? But just early thoughts. This is your thinking, and it doesn't look massively different. You've got Salah and Haaland as well, right?
So mine leaves... So going back to the question you asked me earlier about Liverpool, I am not in a place where I yet think I want to risk the Isak starting. But I think I will be prepared to do that in 1 or 2 weeks' time.
Right.
I'm also not in a place where I want to heavily invest in the Arsenal attack yet, because it's Newcastle. But I definitely want in on the Newcastle defence against Newcastle. So I'm setting up this team, knowing that I go into 7 with a couple of free transfers, on the basis that the defence is pretty much where it is. I think Goodmanson is the best bet of the cheap ones for the next couple of months, in reality. And I would be happy to bench boost with him, because I know you're saying you're not bothered about that chip, but I want to get it done. When I wildcard, I want to pretty much instantly hit the bench boost chip.
All right.
So Goodmanson feels like a good option there. I really like this... I really like the double up of Leeds, which is why I've also got... And I was talking about Stack, wasn't I, before this weekend. Yeah, I very nearly had him as my differential on Sky on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
I was talking about how he was in the underachiever charts for both goals and assists this week. So he's coming in because I do think he's a nice option. Rinder's fine. This team still has Kudus rather than Xavi. I would rather it have Xavi. But at the moment, there is a tight balance here. So I have got 0.8 in the bank. The 0.8 in the bank allows Salah to be Saka. And it allows Isidore to be Isak.
Does it? Okay.
And so... that's why I've done this in that way. It does not allow Kudus to be Xavi. If I decide that I actually think Eze is fine instead of Saka, then I've got loads of money to play with.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Because
sure.
At that point, I can still go into this week with Salah. I can use the budget money to go Kudus to Xavi and upgrade there.
Yeah.
I can tweak around with, or I can do, because I've also put Petrovic in, I would far rather he be Raya. I've also considered having Vicario in that slot, but I'd far rather it be Raya. So I could use that money that's in the bank to do that, because the Salah down to Eze and then the Isidore up to Isak, which I think I like, but I want to make sure I don't price myself out of Saka just in case. That's why this team looks like that.
Who do you bench most weeks out of that front eight? Isidore. Right, okay.
Yeah, so, but the problem is that in 2 weeks' time, when Isidore becomes Isak, then Stack is going to be on the bench most weeks.
Well, FPL Mackham, thank you for that comment in the chat. He's saying Stack has created 10 chances and had 10 shots in the first four games. He's the great. First player to do that for ages.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'd miss that in terms of the underlying stats, FPL Mackham. That's a fair shout.
He's really good.
He caught the eye this week, obviously.
Yeah, but I've been talking about him before this week. And I think... I do think he's a really nice option. He's really, you know, he comes in the cheap bracket. You can have him and Goodmanson. The Leeds fixtures. And what I like about having those two is that most weeks, those two are going to be on the bench.
How much is he stack?
5.
Is he 5 mil?
So
probably better than Keenan, isn't he?
I am better than Keenan Dewsbury Hook. That's not even his name.
It's Keenan.
Keenan.
Get his name right, please.
But I don't care about him. He's dead to me. I think that the over the course of the next few weeks, the Leeds fixtures are as such that there will definitely be, and there are weeks, where you would happily bench boost Goodmanson and Stack.
Well, let's have a look then at those. So that was quite a Leeds-reliant wildcard, if you like. Let's have a look at their fixtures then. So Bournemouth at home up next, Spurs at home, Burnley away, West Ham home, Brighton away. So you're right. There's a couple, I mean, next two look tricky, actually, albeit
at home. But then
they're
on the bench.
But Burnley or West Ham in 8 or 9, yeah.
There's a bench boost there.
You think there's a bench boost option there, do you?
Yeah, okay. I think there's a bench boost there because by that point, I'll have got my Arsenal attacker in, be it Saka or Reza.
Yeah.
I will have got my Liverpool replacement back in for Salah in Isak, in Isidore. So then I've got a really strong front eight and a really decent back line that covers out Timber. There's a couple of sacrifices there. Note that Munoz has disappeared down to Gehi. I don't really see that as a sacrifice at the moment. But that's budget restrictive. If it's Eze, again, the budget is far less restrictive. But I do want to go into this week maintaining Salah and Haaland and then make that call after the League Cup and after the Newcastle game because I just feel like I'll get a better read of Saka, the Saka versus Eze thing.
Yeah, yeah.
After next week.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let us know in the comments below what you think of our two wildcard teams. Interesting that we both sat on Sky and we've both been talking last week about, yeah, definitely a game week 6 wildcard. Yet neither of us has hit the button yet.
I think I might do it in a minute.
Kind of telling, isn't it?
My team really needs it. I've got Decoy-Pérou who's injured. I've got Ronaldo's got a 3-match ban. My team's all over the shop going into this. And I feel like... The opening 5 weeks of the season have been trying. They've been really trying. And going into 7 and 8 and 9, when the Man City fixtures and the Arsenal fixtures are really perfect, I really want to be invested in those clubs. And I feel like this does that. The one problem with the wild card this week, and that's honestly, that's the reason I haven't done it, is because part of me does just want to go Salah to Reinders, Haaland in for Watkins, and triple captain Haaland this week. Because if I wild card,
that is without that is an option.
Because but if I wild card, that's off the table because the triple captain and the wild card can't be played in the same week. So
I'm definitely considering that.
So that and that is the one reason. That is the one reason why the wild card hasn't yet been played because I just need to decide how certain I feel that it's that week I want to do it. Is there another week coming up? And there are, where I'd be happy to triple captain somebody else Haaland.
And that's the thing with it's not a bad week to wildcard. Of course it's not. But in 7, you're going to know, we'll know much more about Isak, I think. Because we'll have the Southampton game and we'd have had the Palace game.
Yeah,
and then we go into 7 with a bit more information and we'll know a little bit more. I just feel like information is so key. Information is so key. And if there's one thing I did promise myself I'd do this season, and I've suffered a couple already, like in previous seasons, I hated taking price drops. I'd spend transfers making sure that I didn't suffer from the Guillou price drop last night. But I did. I just suffered it because I was like, right, I am prioritising. I'm being patient and I'm prioritising information. And I wonder whether... I wonder whether pushing the wildcard button for 6 this week, it's not a bad option. I could still do it. I could get off this thing in the next half an hour, have a cup of tea with you in the living room and go, yep, I'm going to do it now.
The thing is...
there's part of me that just wants to wait one more week.
I do understand
And if I did that, the cherry on top is triple cap Haaland.
I understand that completely because that's how I am. My issue with it is that I've got Verts, who now I'm really unsure of.
Yeah.
So in order for me to feel comfy, I think, going into 6, I'd have to take another -4 because I have to fix the Verts thing as well because I can't go Verts and Watkins. I can't do it. There's not enough money in Verts to enable Verts and Watkins to be Haaland and anyone half the and Reinders. There's just no value there.
Yeah.
So I would have to do something with Verts as well. Then I'm looking at a -4 and then I kind of look at it and go, why am I -4ing to take the wild card the next week? That doesn't make any sense. Just do the wild card.
Yeah,
because actually, when you look at the fixtures coming up, I know that the Burnley game on paper is the best one, but we do, there are other, I don't know why I'm here. That's not going to help me go in here. There are other fixtures coming up between now and game week 19 where Man City... have good fixtures. So there's the Everton game in a couple of weeks' time, could go on that one. There's Leeds in a few weeks' time. There's Fulham, there's Sunderland. There's definitely fixtures in there over this block of time.
And you know what?
Where you could go for Haaland.
And when you look at the sort of goals Haaland's been scoring, so the one today for sure. What was the other one the other week? was it the Manchester derby where he's through and he's in his own half, but therefore he's on the side and Maguire couldn't keep up? Yeah, so yeah. Maguire, yeah, so it's the Manchester game. And by the way, he's not scoring only those types of goals, for sure, but those goals where he's getting clean through and he's one-on-one and it's like, yeah, he's, you put your house on him, wouldn't you? How many of those types of chances, or how many times are they going to be in those sorts of positions, Man City, against Burnley?
Yeah.
Not often, no, is my guess. It's a totally different game.
They might do what they did against Liverpool. And I think, you know, when you look at the fixtures, won't they, surely? Like, obviously we've got until game week 19 to play this. So in between now and game week 19, if you hold it, and obviously I'm not necessarily advocating for this, because by the time we hit to game week sort of 18, 19, the teams that are the ones to target may be very different to the ones that we're targeting right now.
Yeah.
But if things stay similar, if there's no sackings of managers, which of course might change things, he's got all out attack, Postecoglou's Forest in 18. You could go there. He's got West Ham at home in 17.
See, that sounds better than Burnley to me. Right now, things can change.
I won't be stressing about other things, because the bench boost I'm going to play when Leeds have got a nice fixture. So that's done. The wild card's done. The triple cap can go against West Ham or somebody later. You've got other fixtures that come up later on as well. Like even the games against, like, say, Crystal Palace. There's a game against Aston Villa in game week 9 as well. If they're still playing badly, that could definitely be a decent opportunity to play it. I think there are other moments to play the triple captain, and it's a little bit scary because I do think a lot of managers will play it next week against Burnley, and it probably will mean a red arrow for me.
Okay.
That is the one. I am brutally aware that that might happen, but I do think that for my team, the way that it is right now, it's better to fix my problems than it is to triple captain Haaland.
All right. But either way, wild card or not, Haaland's coming in.
Same. And is being captained.
Same. And I will captain him too. Yeah, I think so. Well, listen, guys, we've gone a little bit over there on the wildcard chat, but I think that's probably worth doing because it's going to be a big week, isn't it? It's going to be a big week. Lots of wildcards being played. I've already seen on Twitter, X, a lot of the big content creators are playing the wildcard this week. Mm. I absolutely might get in the other room in half an hour from now before I get to bed and press it. I might. I might be in the doghouse on my own with a cup of tea and a couple of buttons and doing my wild card.
Well, I'm not showing my buttons.
I'm absolutely not ruling it out. Absolutely not ruling it out. But I do have to consider that, A, I don't think my team is in too bad a shape. B, my rank's in kind of an okay shape. I got 2 free transfers, so I can bring him in without having to make a hit.
Yeah.
Salah could be the sacrifice. But then it's Palace away, which is difficult for him, you know. So, he's got a good record over there, hasn't he? But anyway, there's lots to consider. And what I might do tonight is absolutely nothing. And I hear you, because the guys in the chat will be like, well, Haaland's going up in price. In your case, you know, if you want Semenyo's going up in price, I think, tonight.
Oh, my God.
Well, I am playing it this season. And as they say on Planet FPL, we should always play it your way. And the way that I am playing it this season is to be patient, is to prioritise information over price rises. I haven't looked at price rises much at all this season because I don't want it to influence when I'll make decisions on my terms when I think I've got enough information to make the right decisions. And playing the wild card is a massive decision. It's a big, big decision, and I don't want to do it without as much information as possible, and I don't think I've got that right now.
Oh, God.
One thing's for sure, I want the big Norwegian in, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to want a captain as well. That's it, guys. Thank you for joining us here on FPL Family. Going to be a stressful week. I'm feeling some stress. I'm already a bit anxious about this week. Wildcard or no wildcard. I'm already feeling a bit anxious about it. But thank you to everybody for joining tonight. Leave us a like if you enjoyed the stream. And if you're new to FPL Family, maybe it's your first one ever. Sorry for all the pumpkin spice latte chat at the beginning. That was complete and utter nonsense. But hopefully you got a little bit of FPL content in there as well. So like and subscribe, all that stuff. And we'll see you back here again 9 p.m. next Sunday for another FPL Family. See you then. Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.